foremost, the business. The business of pharmacy has become very complex. It requires more and more time from the typical pharmacist or pharmacy owner, which moves their focus off of patient care. On the flip side, pharmacists have more and growing access to important data that will make them more efficient and champions of patient care across the healthcare continuum. I'm excited for the role that PQS has in providing this focused and action-oriented data.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show, where we believe that quality measurement leads to better outcomes. Let us become your go-to source for all things related to quality and medication use in healthcare. We will hit on trending health topics as they relate to performance measurements and find common ground for payers and practitioners. We will discuss how the Equip platform can help you with your performance goals, and we will also make sure to keep you up to date on pharmacy quality news. So buckle up and put your thinking cap on. The Quality Corner Show starts now.
Hello, Quality Corner Show listeners. This is your host, Nick Dorich, and we welcome you back to the show. Throughout the month of May, we're going to speak about some of the unique ways in which pharmacists can improve quality healthcare for patients. With that theme, today's episode is a special one. For the PQS team, we've been fortunate to be led by Jeff Newell as CEO for the last 4 years. Jeff is a community pharmacist at heart because that's how he spent the early years of his career. Jeff's excitement for community pharmacy has been a true North Star for our team, but his professional development continued years after working for several different pharmacy organizations and also with quality improvement organizations, which has brought a unique perspective. This month, Jeff will be transitioning from his role on the PQS team, and he will be handing the organization over to Todd Sega. Before Jeff steps away from the PQS team, I had to make sure he came on the show so we could talk one final time about his passion for community pharmacy and why he thinks pharmacy has a bright future ahead. With that, let's go ahead and get things started. Jeff, I'll now welcome you to the Quality Corner Show.
Nick, it's my pleasure to spend time with you and your listeners. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you on here. And before we get into our questions, because I'd love to pick your brain on many different topics, I want to hear from you and our listeners want to hear from you. What has been your career path in pharmacy? How did that lead you to PQS? And what excited you about PQS?
Oh God, Nick, as old as I am, the path has been unbelievably challenging, but rewarding. It all started out with my family. My dad is a pharmacist and had community pharmacy stores, which I worked in since a little kid. Remember falling asleep behind the soda counter a little bit, but I watched and learned at a very early age that the individuals and the community at large depended on him for so many of their needs. And I always looked up to him, not only as my dad, but that guy who was behind the counter in the white coat. And then I went on to his alma mater at Albany College of Pharmacy, which the most fortunate thing happened to me. I met the love of my life and soon-to-be wife and pharmacist, Debbie. My wife's a pharmacist who's deeply rooted in individual patient care herself. Our first child, daughter Jennifer, followed in her parents' footsteps and is a pharmacist who works within a large physician group practice taking care of patients with direct care. So as you can tell, I've been blessed to have many full and rewarding career opportunities. I spent 24 years at CVS. And when I started, they had 250 stores. That was a lot back then. And when I left, they had over 7,000 stores. And the stories and trials and tribulations and rewards and opportunities I had during that time frame was unbelievable. I was fortunate that I had many dynamic and patient-focused colleagues, which molded my focus throughout my career. I then had the chance to move into the QIO, the Quality Improvement Organization environment that Medicare runs, and learn quality improvement within health systems, skilled nursing facilities, physician offices, assisted living, and with the medication Part D, the pharmacy environments. I then had an opportunity to take a few business challenges to maximize the business in a long-term care company, as well as a retail pharmacy company. But during this time, I had the pleasure of serving on the executive board of PQA, Pharmacy Quality Alliance, And coincidentally, PQS was looking for a new CEO, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to continue to find new ways to integrate pharmacists within the general healthcare environment, which has always been my passion. That was 4 years ago, and it's been a great ride, including people like yourself, Nick. We have many exceptional individuals that are talented and have made my time at PQS very rewarding.
Jeff, that's quite the career ride so far, and would certainly underscore your passion and interest for pharmacy. You and I have known each other for about a decade, I think a little bit more than a decade, through shared connections in Rhode Island and with the Rhode Island Pharmacist Association. I think I had initially met you when you were teaching part of a class for pharmacy management during my PT year. I don't know how much you remember from those examples, but it was a great way for how pharmacists can and need to do more than the clinical aspect, right? Many pharmacists, you're also running a business, you're dealing with people. And those are a lot of the things that I want to talk about today with you, how to be an effective pharmacist and how that means more than simply knowing the drug knowledge and medication treatment plans, et cetera. Now, before we jump into the content for today's show, I'll provide a quick overview of what comes next. There are three questions written down for us to explore. I'll go down the list, ask the first question. Jeff, you'll then respond. We may have some back and forth to summarize the key points. We will then repeat the process for the second and third questions, which wraps up our primary content for the show. But before we close, we'll have a little bit of a fun conversation, get to know you a little bit, perhaps outside of pharmacy as well. Now that we've covered that, we're going to go ahead. We'll jump into question one. And Jeff, for question one, I want to start our conversation today with how pharmacy has changed. You mentioned that you were once or twice a pharmacy owner, and you helped grow a successful independent pharmacy business. Through your time in pharmacy thus far, what have been the most exciting and impactful ways in which pharmacy practice has evolved?
Sure, Nick. But before I jump into that, you did bring up the time that we were teaching a course at URI, and I enjoyed that greatly. I'm not sure the students enjoyed it as much as I did, but I enjoyed it greatly, and it was something I was passionate about, because oftentimes the business of pharmacy sometimes gets in the way of the clinical practicing of the patients. And what we were trying to do with that class was help inform pharmacy students what skill sets they should go beyond with clinical. How do they manage people? How do they manage their time? How do they interview effectively? So on and so forth, because that doesn't often happen in pharmacy school very much. But Rita and I had a great time teaching that for the 3 years that we did and really enjoyed it. So thanks for bringing that up. But now on to the question that you put forward for me. I think many things have changed. Some have been helpful and some have created barriers to improvement of patient care. Foremost, the business of pharmacy has become very complex. It requires more and more time from the typical pharmacist or pharmacy owner, which moves their focus off of patient care. On the flip side, pharmacists have more and growing access to important data that will make them more efficient and champions of patient care across the healthcare continuum. I'm excited for the role that PQS has in providing this focused and action-oriented data.
From your experience, Jeff, or thinking about this, is there a particular area that's untapped potential for pharmacy and disease management? Maybe it's something like diabetes or hypertension or specialty medications. Is there anything that comes to mind right off the bat?
Nick, I think that when pharmacists have an opportunity to have more information at their disposal, and that's usually where they have data and their specific goals that they're charging to improve patient care towards, are the ones that are going to make the most impact. Because I'm not sure everybody is as amenable as we are to have pharmacists deeply, deeply involved in patient care across the healthcare continuum. So we have to charge forward in a cautious, but a way that helps not only us, the pharmacists, but physicians, nurse care practitioners, and others. With that being said, I think diabetes specifically with A1C levels, trying to be at the 7. As you know, we've started a new pilot with community pharmacy and hemoglobin A1C with Humana and some others. So we're very interested in those. So anything that has a goal that we're trying to change, the intervention with the pharmacist and the pharmacist being able to integrate with the other patient's healthcare providers is very important.
Jeff, for your consideration, it's how we maximize the opportunity of the pharmacist having that interaction with the patient. That's the real value of the interaction.
Well, clearly, and as you know, pharmacists in the community world see that patient more often than any other healthcare provider that patient deals with. So the number of times and interventions that a pharmacist have, you have a better chance to get the message towards the patient and monitor and move things forward. Absolutely. But I do want to underscore the opportunity that pharmacists continually communicate with their other healthcare practitioners, what's going on with that patient. So we have to find a good communication vehicle to get to the doctors, get to the nurse case managers, and other healthcare providers. We can't be in our silos anymore.
Perfect. Thanks for that insight, Jeff. Well, we'll now move on to our second question, and this is going to be about professional engagement. Being engaged with the profession and with your or with your local community is very important to you personally. I know that from our relationship, and that can be accomplished in many ways. And it's also an important aspect of networking and your own personal development. Everyone works hard at their day job. There's also an element concerning the commitment to the profession and to patient care as it relates to advocacy, to public service, or to education. I'd like to hear from you, Jeff, why this has been so important through your career and why you would recommend this type of involvement for other pharmacy professionals.
Thanks, Nick. I have to harken back to one of my early mentors, Tom Ryan, back at CVS. This is way before he was the CEO and president. He reminded me that I'm a pharmacist and I want to be a good pharmacist, I must be involved in the pharmacy profession as deeply as you can be. And this actually is what led me to be first involved locally in Rhode Island when I moved to Rhode Island with the Rhode Island Pharmacists Association some 40 years ago. Oh, God, 40 years ago. And I'm still a member today. I still go to the meeting, still go to the annual meeting and the CE seminars that they put on, and love to see the younger pharmacist being involved. I grew up in pharmacy with so many other passionate pharmacists, be it in Rhode Island or the other parts of the United States. I had the opportunity to hold many positions within the Pharmacy Association, ending in as a president of the association, and really cherish that, the opportunity to interact and advocate for pharmacy with our state legislators, our director of health in Rhode Island. And then ultimately became involved nationally through NABP, National Association of Boards of Pharmacy. I happen to be the on the Rhode Island Board of Pharmacy and the chairperson for 4 years out of my 10 years that I serviced there. But it gave me the opportunity to see things nationally and become passionate and become involved and talk with like-minded and people that had, you know, differing opinions, and really go through the debate of that and understand how pharmacy can grow and where it can grow. And being part of the solution for pharmacy was really rewarding for me. I learned so many important lessons and gained so many lifelong friendships that I cherish to this day. I would encourage any pharmacist or any professional to find their way to become deeply involved with their own profession. They will gain so much more than they give. It's unbelievable. I would advocate for that to anybody who really wants to have a fulfilling career.
Thanks, Jeff, for that information. And thinking about this question and where we go, two key points to me and common points that we hear internally at PQS. We're often hearing from you, one of the best things you can do is to be bold. One other item that we hear from Todd Sega is that it starts with why. And I think those two items in conjunction are actually a really great point around why pharmacists should be involved or how they should be involved with their associations. It's important to have engagement that's meaningful to you, that covers the why. And then, Jeff, to your point on being bold, whatever you're going to do, do it 100%, right? You want to go 60 miles an hour, but it can be difficult finding out what that niche is that you enjoy doing. So, you know, from your perspective, would you have any recommendations either for a young pharmacist or maybe a more seasoned pharmacist in different ways that they can be involved with associations or other groups that help promote pharmacy?
Sure. I always start locally. So if that's their pharmacist association or, you know, some that are involved in health systems, they usually have a other organization. Sometimes they're combined with the health system pharmacist, but become involved locally and look at the challenges. There's a number of challenges that we're facing. And when I say challenges, they're not just business challenges. They're challenges on patient care. And when you listen to the associations, they're always trying to figure out how to position the pharmacist more deeply into patient care and trying to do the right thing for the patient, because that's what we go to school for, right? That's what we ultimately want to do. And then pick your poison, so to speak. Figure out what you are passionate about through the local association. And then there's a number of national opportunities to become involved. And be it at the conventions, be it a preceptor is an unbelievable way of getting involved in your profession, in mentoring the young, and being able to challenge them to essentially go through life's challenging doors early on in their career, because they'll learn so much and they will be bold. They won't be scared about trying to take on new challenges. And it's one of the things some of my mentors said, never be afraid of what's on the other side of the door, because you have the skills to overcome whatever's there and enjoy what you do. And I've never been worried about what's on the other side of the door, because I can always make it challenging. I can always enjoy it. We can find ways to do that.
It's a great mentality, Jeff. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I'll move us to our third question. And this is going to be the same question we actually proposed to Laura Cranston a few months ago when she was on the show. When it comes to quality, when it comes to quality measures and medication use, what do you see as the future for these? What's it going to look like? How is that going to improve pharmacy practice? And finally, do you believe value-based care is going to be the best way to continue improving patient outcomes?
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I had a chance to listen to that podcast with Laura, and I've enjoyed working with Laura immensely. She's a great leader and a great visionary for pharmacy and an advocate all the way back to her time at St. John's. So, very proud to be in the same sentence as Laura, quite honestly. I think that the future is going to be changing, and it has to, because we're doing this in stepwise fashion. We had a lot of process measures, and as we got good at those, hey, did the person actually fill their prescription? You know, the whole compliance piece of it. But did they maximize the dosing of it? And we're gonna go from process measures to outcome measures, right? And then what's after outcomes measure? Is it a composite measure that comes on? So some people, and I've heard you say, Nick, is I'm going to be so happy when we don't necessarily just measure, you know, compliance, right? That we move on to other things. Understand that we had to go through that door to get to the next challenge. And we will go through this next door, and then there'll be the next challenge. And the speed at which we go through it is the ability for us to improve patient care. So I know that if I tell you that I think value-based care, the way I see it, which is more outcomes-based, is right now, here and now, I know it'll be different 2 years from now. And it's good that it's going to be different 2 years from now. I do believe some process measures live in harmony with outcomes measures, because one of the things when something doesn't go right, you have to roll it back and find out where did the fault occur. So if you're not measuring things like compliance and you just measure, oh, they didn't get from a 9 to a 7 on an A1C measure, you're not sure where the defect was. So you were going to have multiple measures in place to really understand when we are failing, where did we fail with that? I will echo back what you've heard many, many times, and I think it is true, is that you have to follow the money. Right? So many of the things that we do have financial implications. So the ability to have pay for performance type arrangements, which essentially is an easy way to say that is, if you do X, I will pay you Y. And if X is the right motivation factor, and we can make sure we have clean data to measure that, it will move people to align their human and financial resources to fulfill that contractual agreement to make the appropriate reimbursement right. So pay for performance is just a construct to get an agreement between those that are looking for an outcome and those that are paying for an outcome and those that are acting to work on that outcome. So I think pay for performance will and should always be around. I think we have to be very judicious in what those measures are and make sure that we have as clean the data as we can have. But let's not wait until we are perfect, because perfect is the enemy of good. And even if we get to 80%, guess what? Patient care improved 80%. They improved for that number of patients. So as caregivers for patient care. We can't wait for perfect. And there will be trials and tribulations. But yes, I do believe that our measure standards will change, and they have, and they should, and they will, and that pay for performance will be front and center utilizing those standards.
Jeff, in your background, you've spent time with QIO, you've spent time with other types of organizations. How much does the patient or member experience matter in these considerations? Because the process measures are good, outcomes measures are good, right? But ultimately, we're treating the patient or the individual. Their access to care or how they feel they're working with their providers, that can play a large part for it. Do you think there's an opportunity for those types of measures with pharmacy? And given what we know about pharmacy, is that something that pharmacists should look forward to?
Short answer, yes. Longer answer, it's harder to do that because, as you know, there's many different personality types. So what a patient is willing or wanting to do and how you get them engaged has a variety. And I often thought, wouldn't the best way to start a patient engagement is to find out what personality type they are? Necessarily ask, we jump right and ask them questions about their medication and what's, you know, how they feel and what aches and pains they have. But we never know about the patient, the personality that they have and what they react to and how you can meet them where they are and how they like to hear it. As you know, I'm a D according to the DISC measurement, and others that aren't a D always have to align and understand my approach. And DISC teaches us that we have to understand other people's personalities and understand how they open their ears and their hearts to different things. And knowing those personal and personality types that we're dealing with might be the best way to start in understanding patients and how they are reacting to what we're trying to, quote unquote, help them with or in some way impose on them, right?
Jeff, that's a great commentary. And as you were speaking, I was thinking, man, this really sounds like Jeff's going to point us back to DISC assessment, because when you came to PQS, that was one of the first things that we did. And it is a really great tool to help help you understand how you communicate with others, how others communicate to you. There are formal trainings to do DISC assessment. There's even very simple free ones you can do online. One thing that I found particularly interesting, have your spouse or significant other do a DISC assessment with you, or your family members, see how that impacts how you communicate with them going forward, because it really does help to inform how you have a meaningful interaction with somebody. So whether it's a boss, employee, whether it's with a significant other, whether it's with a conversation with a patient, you want to create those interactions to be meaningful. So there are quality improvement opportunities and how we are trained to have those conversations. So Jeff, I appreciate you referencing that. Again, these things tend to come around full circle. Jeff, with that, we're going to go ahead. That's going to close our primary questions and content for this episode. Really appreciate your insight from your career in pharmacy thus far and your experience. It has to be underscored. We spoke about pharmacy, but you were very clear on this. It's about improving patient care. It's about the patient. That's the thing that matters most. That's why we do the job. And that certainly has been always very clear for your time here at PQS and very clear with our team. And I thank you for sharing these thoughts on the Quality Corner show today. Appreciate your insight into professional engagement and what the future for pharmacy will look like. Now, I do have one other question, so you're not off the hook yet. And for you, would like to know what's coming up ahead. Do you have plans ahead for the next month of the summer? Is there going to be more woodworking, golf, other kinds of pharmacy engagement? I would love to hear what you're going to have on the road ahead.
First and foremost, thanks, Nick, for having me on the podcast. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to list that and write on my resume as one of my accomplishments for sure, being on a podcast with you, Nick. I mean that sincerely. You've done a great job in educating and expanding the views of your listeners, and I've enjoyed being one of those for a long time with that. Oh, gosh, what am I going to do? First and foremost, I'm going to move on from PQS with mixed emotions. And those emotions are twofold. One is knowing that PQS has unbelievably talented individuals that love to work with the clients that we have. So I know that our business is in great hands moving forward. So that, you know, really, when I first came here, you know, I was able to, you know, jump on the shoulders of giants before me, like David Now, David Medvedev, Laura Cranston, Mark Conklin. Nick, you've been here for a long time, as well as Todd. So we keep stepping up, right? And after I leave, I know the organization will continue to step up. So I leave with mixed emotions, but knowing that it's going to move forward, I will be standing on the sidelines watching anxiously with some of the things that we're trying to bring forward for our client base, which I think are going to be very exciting for them once they hear about those. So that's great. As far as me personally, got a few irons in the fire. I'm going to take a little time, spend some time with my bride, go do some things. We just had our youngest one married. So four down, four to go. So we're all good on the wedding side. And yes, I'd love to spend a little more time woodworking and playing a little golf. One time I was a 7, now I'm a 14. So maybe I'm too old to get back to a 7. I don't know. But I haven't really mapped it out. I said that earlier, that I kind of go through doors with a lot of desire to see what's on the other side and do that. But I know it'll still have pharmacy involved. I'll volunteer some way, somehow. I'll get involved in some local or national advocacy side of pharmacy. It's just, you know, starting out with my dad, myself, my wife, my daughter, colleagues. Some of my best friends came from the pharmacy world, and still I see them today and look forward to them afterwards. So yeah, I'll be doing all of that. And as my dad passionately used to say, I'm just going to be putzing around the house a little bit down at the lake, you know, putzing around with the boats and, you know, raking the beach, doing whatever. But pharmacy will stay in the future for me. And like I said, I'll be watching anxiously with pride on how PQS continues to help service their clients, as well as bringing new and innovative ways to help them care for the patients that they're trying to improve their lives with.
Thanks, Jeff, for that reply. And I certainly hope that you enjoy the golf game. Hope you enjoy the time with the family and whatever's coming next. I know personally that you're not done with pharmacy just yet. You still have an interest and a passion that comes through very clearly as we're having this conversation today. So whatever that next step is going to be on how you can help pharmacists, how you can ultimately help patient care, we know it's going to be a great thing. With that, and this is one of your last appearances here with PQS still, but if folks do want to reach out to you, how can they contact you?
Yeah, the easiest way is my Gmail account. I haven't played with maybe starting a whole new Gmail, so some of the junk stuff goes away and it can all start all over again. But I've got too many contacts that know it. So I'll spend a lot of time unsubscribing to a lot of things that I don't want anymore. But Jay Newell, that's JNEWELL, the number 5, the number 7 at gmail.com. And put something enticing in the to line, the subject line, and I'll make sure that I answer that. And I'm usually pretty good within 24 to 48 hours. Might take a little longer while I'm, you know, out fishing or doing something else, playing golf, but we'll definitely get back to it. I look forward to hearing from people and staying involved. And I appreciate it, Nick, again. Behind the scenes, we have David doing a lot of the work for us on these podcasts. And David, you never get off in the recognition, but thank you for everything that you do. And if this podcast comes out good, it's because David made me sound good. If it didn't, it's because he couldn't make me sound good. Anyways, David, thank you. And Nick, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And I've loved my time with you guys and the PQS team in general.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. We certainly appreciate it and appreciate your support with the podcast. I know throughout the time we've been running the podcast, you've provided us with your own great thoughts and inspiration on how we can help to improve it. We always want to get better, right? That's one thing we're never done with. We're always improving, always looking to make a next bold step. We're going to continue that with the podcast in the future and that recognition that message you've made very clear with us. But Jeff, again, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show today. Thank you for your time here with PQS. Certainly appreciate it. And we hope that you, our audience, stay tuned for more great episodes coming in the near future. We'll be talking more about pharmacists. We'll be talking more about pharmacist-provided services. We're going to be talking about how pharmacist care and social determinants of health need to be addressed to help improve patient outcomes. Our most listened to episode last year was on that topic, and we'll be revisiting it for our next couple episodes ahead. So I hope you join us for that conversation. With that, I again appreciate you listening to the Quality Corner Show. And there is one final message from the PQS team.
The Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show has a request for you. Our goal is to spread the word about how quality measurement can help improve health outcomes, and we need your help in sharing this podcast to friends and colleagues in the healthcare industry. We also want you to provide feedback, ask us questions, and suggest health topics you'd like to see covered. If you are a health expert and you want to contribute to the show or even talk on the show, please contact us. You can email info@pharmacyquality.com. Let us know what is on your mind, what we can address, so that you are fully informed. We want you to be able to provide the best care for your patients and members, and we wish all of you listeners out there well.